Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to talk about some practical things that you can do to stay out of financial trouble or to get out of financial trouble if you happen to be in it now. It's hard to fathom how many people have trouble with their finances, and I think part of the reason is that they get overwhelmed and the system or the problem seems to be more complex, perhaps, than it really is, and there's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of fear, hard to change some habits. So we're going to just talk about some things today that are practical, things that you can do, things that will really help you. The first thing to do when you are concerned at all about your finances is to turn to God. Turn to God for help. In Matthew chapter 6, in verses 30 to 34, we read something which seems to be very spiritual, and it is, but it's also very practical. Matthew chapter 6, verses 30 to 34. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now these verses are in the context of verses about men and their concerns over food and raiment. And the Lord says, look, my Father takes really good care of the sparrows. He takes really good care of the grass. He takes really good care of the lilies. And don't you know, by putting some faith in God, that he can take care of you? So if you're a child of God, and you have God for your Father, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, truly you can look to God to help you. And what you do is you rearrange your priorities. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then he adds these other things to you. And that's very, very important. But when money enters into the picture, suddenly it becomes the priority. And if you read the Bible, you know that there is a lot in the Bible that is said about money. And when it becomes the priority, then truly your affections can be set on money. And suddenly you are laboring to be rich. You are in love with money. And there are innumerable problems associated with that. The Bible shows us in the Old Testament that it's the Lord that gives you power to get wealth. And what I've seen is that most people who are in financial trouble lay out of church on Sunday, they lay out of church on Wednesday night because they're working all the time, or they're depressed, or they're tired. And I'm going to just tell you that you court financial disaster when you do that. When you decide that you need to spend all of your hours working and no time with God, you're not going to dig your way out of a financial hole. Get back in your Bible, get back on your knees, and get back in your pew. Now, I know that that may not seem like it makes sense to you, but if in fact it is so that the Lord is the one that gives you power to get wealth, then when you put him first, when you make God your priority, it is amazing how he begins to straighten out the financial stresses and the financial problems. The second thing we'll say is this: stay out of debt. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says, "Owe no man anything." Now, recently in Sunday school, we taught on Romans, and we taught what this verse is saying, and it doesn't just deal with not borrowing money. I understand that. But in the context of borrowing money, then this verse certainly does apply. Owe no man anything. Now, I recognize when you use utilities and you have to pay for those utilities that you've used, you owe the utility company, you know, money for the electricity that you've used. If you live in an apartment and you live there for a period of time, you owe the landlord money for occupying that space. And so, truly, in the society in which we live, it's impossible to not owe somebody something. So the application of Romans 13:8 is this: don't owe them in the sense that you have not paid timely. In other words, don't get into a situation where you are past due, for instance. Now, debt is a killer. Most people can't handle debt responsibly. And the reason is this: when you've borrowed money to buy something like a car or something like a house or something like some furniture, when you have borrowed money to buy something, you now have an unrealistic view of your budget. You have borrowed somebody else's money now to own an asset you are using, and so you look at the money that you have as being sufficient for all of your bills, but the truth is you owe that money. And so it's easy to spend money that should be dedicated for the repayment of the debt. It's easy to spend that money on something else, and then at some point during the obligation you have to the lender, you find yourself short of cash to be able to pay one of the payments or several of the payments. And the trouble came because you spent money that should have been used to repay the debt on something else. It gave you an artificial view of your assets and your liabilities. And that's where people get into trouble with debt. Money is easy to borrow, but money is hard to pay back, particularly credit card money. Now, if you have to borrow money on a credit card in order to meet your monthly obligations, if you have to borrow money in order to stay afloat, you're in trouble already. To use a credit card is not a bad thing, except for two reasons. One, you don't pay it all back at the end of the month. That's a bad problem. If you're going to borrow money on a credit card, it should be paid in its entirety by the end of the month. Second thing is that it is so easy to put plastic down and buy something. It is so easy to do that versus writing a check for it or actually getting money out of the bank and spending money on it. Just take, for instance, that if you had $1,000 in your pocket, and that $1,000 was necessary to pay $900 worth of bills in a month, and you knew that you had to have that money on hand to be able to pay bills as they came due, and there was $100 extra in there because you had $900 worth of bills and $1,000 worth of money, you'd be very careful to be sure that that money in your pocket was distributed out as the bills came due, and you would be very reluctant to spend that $100. You do it all with credit cards, you'll spend $200 out of that $1,000 and never even think about it. It wouldn't even dawn on you that you'd done it because it's so easy to spend that way, and you'll come up $100 short out of the $1,000 you had for paying your bills. So credit cards can be very difficult because they're easy. They're very easy to put plastic through a payment machine. you know, point of sale and pay for something and never feel it like you would if you were actually pulling money out of your purse or out of your wallet. And they're dangerous because you can easily rack up more in a payment that you owe than you are able to pay at the end of the month, and then you'll end up paying a partial payment and carrying over the balance to the next month. That will get you into trouble. Stay out of debt. Third thing goes right along with this. Live within your means. Live within your means. 1 Timothy 6:6. 1 Timothy 6:6 says this, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. The trouble with people is that, you know, we're inundated with advertising and we're inundated with conversation with friends who have bought something that we would really like to have. And if you ever go to the mall, you're inundated with great presentations of things that you'd like to have, window shopping. And what happens is you end up buying something that you don't really need or buying something you can't afford. He says, be content with your food and your raiment. In other words, if you've had a meal today and you got clothes on your back, then be happy with that. That's enough. An unbelievable amount of money is thrown away at restaurants and convenience stores. That's right. An unbelievable amount of money is spent in the mall just buying stuff that you really don't need. Or, you know, as I said, at restaurants, paying for food that's good, but it's more expensive than you can afford. Or convenience stores where prices are high for something that is a convenience, but something you really shouldn't have or don't need. For instance, one Coke and one bag of chips each day for 20 days out of the month. Those, you know, you'll generally work 22 work days, but let's say you just go to work 20 days a month and each day you stop by the convenience store to pick up a Coke and a bag of chips. That's going to cost you over $60 in 1 month. One taco and a cup of coffee on the way to work each day will run you over $55 a month. A pack of cigarettes a day will run you about $180 a month. A trip to a fast food restaurant like a McDonald's or a Taco Bell with the family once or twice a week will run you somewhere between $60 and $120 a month on the minimum side. Listen, when you think about just these little incidental spending habits, we're talking about nearly enough money to pay rent. Now, I realize rent is high, and you're not going to, just these numbers I mentioned won't be enough, but I'm just mentioning some examples. I know a fella who for years was coming up short every month, and he just couldn't figure out where the hole was, and I gave him some instruction I'm going to give you, and he found out that he was spending $250 a month at the convenience store on his way to work to buy a Coke and a bag of chips and maybe a pack of gum or something like that. Little incidentals, he spent the money on it. Since it was going out $2 at a time, he certainly didn't think that was where the $250 was going, but it was. And it really, really cost him. Now, that's how much he was coming up short each month. When he cut that habit out, suddenly he was able to pay his bills every month. So live within your means. Here's the next thing. Cut out the fat. Cut out the fat. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:17, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. Cut out the fat. Now, you only bring in so much money. That's right. Each month, you only get so much money, and you must pay all of your bills and live off the rest. And in addition, you must have a little set aside for car repairs and unforeseen problems and taxes, what some people call emergency funds. Listen, if you spend some of your hard-earned money that was for bills and that was for food on something that you don't need, you're going to come up short. So just look at all the excess that you spend on pleasure, movies, cable television, fancy cars, DVDs, sporting goods, club fees, knickknacks, catalog purchases, whatever, you name it. I've said to a fellow one time, you wouldn't need all of that junk if you weren't so depressed about your finances. That stuff doesn't make you happy anyway. Listen, when money is tight, you have to cut out the fat. You just can't go out and buy whatever it is that you want to buy. You got to say, look, we have to stop. We have to stop. We have to rein in our spending habit. Now, living within your means, cutting out the fat, they seem like very much the same point, but one has to do with these casual expenses that just come up. You know, you got to eat, right? From buying fast food as opposed to buying food from the grocery store that you prepare. And cutting out the fat really has to do with these extraordinary expenses, buying things that you don't need. Now, here's the next thing, and you know, you would think this goes without saying, but I think it's a big problem. Don't steal from your employer. That's right. Don't steal from your employer. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Now, sometimes you may get the idea that your boss owes you or your company owes you a little more than you're being paid. So you just help yourself to some of his cash or some of his tools or some of his supplies or whatever. I knew a man that had plenty of money, but he worked, and I think it was a government job. And, you know, they had extra things like blades, and they had extra things like ear protection. So rather than going to buy his own, he just helped himself to some of that inventory, some of those tools. He didn't need to do that. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if he doesn't need to do that and he's doing it, then there must certainly be other people that do need the help, that are helping themselves to a screwdriver or a hammer or, you know, plumbing tools or glue or something else that they don't want to go out and buy themselves. Let me tell you something. You don't ever want to get into a situation like that in order to manage your finances. Cut that out. And the reason is, remember, the first point in this getting financial help is turning to God for help. Well, if you're stealing from your employer, God won't bless that. He won't bless that. And you need his help. So put in an honest day's work. Work all the hours for which you're being paid, and God will bless you there. Okay? Now, here's another thing. Here's another thing. About getting finances in shape or coming out of financial trouble. Listen, here it goes. Quit talking and fix the problem. Quit talking and fix the problem. Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Penury is poverty. Now, what is he saying here? Well, you know, just to rattle off your mouth like that, this is mainly like, you know, a man that talks a good line but doesn't work hard. But the truth of the matter is, when people start having trouble with finances, they do an awful lot of discussing and take very little action. Do something. Now, there's a system that will help you get a handle on your problem with money, and also that'll help you fix it if you have the character and if you have the discipline to do it. What is that? Do a budget. I'm going to tell you right now, budgets are hard to handle, but once you get used to them, they are a lifesaver. The best way to do a budget is to estimate what you think it costs you to pay your bills, to pay your groceries, to pay your utilities, to pay your gas, to pay your sundries, and so forth. Just estimate everything that costs money. And then for 2 months, write down everything you spend each day, including even a single candy bar or whatever. If you can't write it all down while you're spending it, keep the receipts, throw them in a box, and at the end of the month, tabulate everything. And I mean, do not miss even one nickel worth of expenses. Write it all down. Then compare the actual expenses with what you estimated, and you will be shocked. You will. Your spending habits are literally nickel and diming you to death. You probably spend anywhere from $200 to $500 more each month than you think you do, or more than that. That's conservative. Now, from the actual expenses during that two-month period, come up with a real budget. What you really do, not what you thought you were doing. And listen, cut out all the fat and discipline yourself to, you know, to not cheat on your budget. Quit buying small prepackaged food, for instance. Buy in quantity. I realize it takes more work to prepare a meal than to go to a restaurant, but you can't afford to eat out all the time. Prepare enough supper so that that you have food that you can take with you to lunch and eat those leftovers. Change your habits, and then check yourself at the end of each month to be sure that you are staying within the budget. Make sure to budget each paycheck and the expenses that are associated with that check. You know why you need to do that? This will keep you from spending your paycheck before your bills are paid. I mean, in other words, most people have bigger bills to pay out of one check than they do out of the other check. So they usually end up short on the one that has the biggest bills coming out of it because they've already spent the extra money that came out of the check that wasn't needed to pay as many bills. Do you understand? I've helped people sometimes take a ledger and just sit down and say, okay, here's when the bills are due. This is when the money comes in. And you can see that, you know, on one check, you're whatever, getting $1,000 in net pay. And there's $1,200 or $1,400 worth of bills to pay. And on the next check later in the month, you get $1,000. And this time, there's only $500 worth of bills to pay. But you realize in the first check, there were an additional $400 worth of bills to pay. So out of that second check, you got to hold back money. You can't spend it. You say, woohoo, I'm rich. No, you're not. No, you're not. Can't go to the restaurant. Got to go home and cook. Now, what are you going to budget for? Number one, tithes and offerings. Take 10% right off the top and give it to your local church. Give it to the Lord in your local church. Now, some people hate the word tithe for Christians. I've been down that road so many times, I don't even want to have that discussion with you. Whatever you want to call it, you will never make it financially by hoarding all the money for yourself. You can't. The Bible says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There's withholdeth more than is meat, but it only tendeth to poverty. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. God loveth a cheerful giver. And I don't care how you skin it. People don't start working out of their financial troubles until they give God his money. 10% is what Abraham gave God before the law in Genesis 14. So you can't say that tithing is under the law. Abraham did it before the law. And you should do at least that much. The first opportunity you have, give to the Lord through your local church each time you get paid. I'm telling you, I've watched this happen numerous times, helping people through financial troubles. When they tithe, God blesses what they do. And that's just how God does it. You can't spend everything. In other words, you got to do the budget. You put those two together, so you'll have money you didn't know you had. And it comes from changing your habits, and it comes from taking care of what the Lord told you to do. All right, bills. Budget for tithes and offerings. Budget for bills. Look at your bills. Look at your budget. Put everything that you're going to spend on bills and everything you're going to spend on necessities out of each paycheck, put it in your budget. You should pay everything that's coming due before the next paycheck. Don't wait for the cutoff notice, because if you do that, you're past due. It would help to make a little ledger, and that ledger will show you when the money is due and how much is due, and then mark it paid as you pay it. That way, you won't lose track of your money. Now, you're going to undoubtedly need some of the money, as I've said already, from one paycheck where the bills are low to help cover your bills from the other paycheck where the bills are high. So don't spend that extra money for anything other than bills and necessities that are to be paid out of it. Otherwise, you're going to come up short and your budget's not going to work. Now, you can have a lot of expense categories, but I just say tithes and offering bills. Bills would be, you know, food, groceries, utilities, taxes, all that stuff. All right, and then when you have everything you know you have to spend money on, and everything, like maybe you have something that's not due for 3 or 4 months, but it's going to come due, and when it does, like an insurance premium, you got to have money there. That's bills. You have to budget for that so that the money is there to pay that bill when the bill comes due. But after you've got all that budgeted, then you got one more category. It's called mad money. You can call it emergency money. You can call it whatever you want. Everybody likes a little of this. If you truly have anything left over after your tithe, after your necessities, then save it. You can use this money for whatever. However, a wise man or a wise woman would realize that sometimes mad money has to be used for unexpected repairs, unexpected emergencies, medical expenses, and the like. So don't run through it. If you don't go through all your money at once and save it, you'll have it when you need it. All right, the last thing that I'll say is this. If you're trying to get help with finances, get some credit counseling. Proverbs 15, verse 22. Proverbs 15, 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. You might already be in debt over your head. I don't know. If so, there are several reputable consumer credit counselors. I know that there are some that aren't reputable, and you're going to get taken. Don't go there. There are several reputable consumer credit counselors that can help you consolidate your debt and lower your payments, or at least sort it out so that your payments are being paid in a way that will get you out of debt. And they can help you immensely. You know, you hear Dave Ramsey on the radio. He's got books that are published. Why don't you not be lazy? Why don't you get one of those, read it, and follow what he says to do? I'm giving you the overview. He can give you some really, really deep down nuts and bolts. What I'm saying is going to run very consistent to what you're going to hear if you read one of those, but he'll give you more principles than I could in just a short broadcast. So concerning finances, number one, turn to God for help. Always prioritize the things of the Lord and the kingdom of God. Stay out of debt, live within your means, and cut out the fat. Don't steal from your employer. Quit talking and go to work on the problem, and get yourself a budget and follow it precisely and exactly. And you can work your way through your financial problems, and you can keep yourself from getting into financial problems. And I pray the Lord will bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.